Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Ready to talk some Drake May, Keith?
Of course I'm ready to talk some Drake May Jones. Born ready. We talked a lot about Vrabes being the man.
Vrabes is the man.
Who's running the show? That's you're right, brother! You know, Curran said it to us yesterday.
Yeah, he's running it.
Adam Schefter is saying it on McAfee there.
Yep.
In, you know, McAfee show style.
Yep.
And so, okay. Vrabel's the man. Elliott Wolf is still here. I'm curious how it all plays out, but that makes me feel a lot better to hear that from Schefter.
Good.
To hear that from Curran yesterday, that makes me feel better. And we'll certainly continue to discuss Mike Vrabel and the power structure here in New England and how it's all going to work out. But the next big domino to fall for the Patriots is, who's your offensive coordinator? How do you develop Drake May? How do you maximize Drake May? And I want to get into it here today on Jones and Keefe. Who's the best case scenario to maximize Drake May and get him to reach his potential, which as much as we saw flashes last year and like what we saw, he's nowhere near his potential.
No, he's definitely not near his potential. It was a good rookie year, but we've seen a lot of guys have good rookie years, and then what'd they do in year two? What'd they do? You know, like they've fallen apart. I mean, Mac Jones is sort of the extreme, but
CJ Stroud would be a great example. I know CJ Stroud looked pretty good in the game last weekend. I know he's won a playoff game 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But Stroud dropped off a lot this year from his rookie year.
Well, and a lot of it, too, can be different coordinators. Not the case for C.J. Stroud, but for other guys. My guy, Baker Mayfield, he has come back out of it. But if you follow his career, lit it up as a rookie, yeah, and then was like up and down. They're changing head coaches. They're changing offensive coordinators. And he ended up leaving the team that drafted him. So I'm not, you know, suggesting it's going to go to that extreme. But there's a lot of examples of guys kind of either falling out of favor or whatever. You don't automatically take a big leap in year two, and that's why this offensive coordinator is so important. You know, Mike Vrabel, I thought, was pretty honest and open when he, at the press conference, when it asked about Drake May, sort of explaining the parts that he's going to be involved, which is huge, because I can't imagine, not to pile on the guy because he's gone, but do you think Mayo was doing a lot of talks with Drake May about game situations and where you are on the field and like time and all the score and all that stuff?
No, I mean, the answer is self-evident, but no.
Right. So, regardless of who the offensive coordinator is, I feel like Drake May is already in a better spot because of that. Like, just the overarching guy that's in charge of the whole thing is going to have a better grip on the whole franchise. And something like, you know, attention to detail and all that kind of crap that might have been gone a year ago, you'll have that with Vrabel. So, like, that's a good baseline. It makes me feel pretty good that regardless of the hire, he can have a better year two. Obviously, talent's going to be huge. Like, can they block for him? Can they catch for him? But Vrabel already helps. But next level will be one of these great play callers that help unlock a lot of these young quarterbacks around the league.
Because I agree with you on the idea that the game management and the strategy of what you need in a specific spot, right? You know, this is what Bill Belichick used to excel at, situational football.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a lot easier when you have Brady,
sure,
to execute situationally than Cam Newton and Mac Jones, et cetera, Bailey Zappi. But, you know, the situational football the Patriots were exceptional at for years and years. And I do think they're going to be in a better spot for Vrabel. How many times do you think Drake May, to your point, last year, the advice from the head coach, if Mayo even gave any, was like, go get him.
He might not have.
Like, I imagine it was that. I imagine it was like positive reinforcement, encouragement. And I'm just guessing. But, hey, go get him there, Drake. That's the advice on the drive. And maybe the this is nice. Courtney's sending
Courtney,
nice messages.
Yeah, she wrote a nice message. Like, we're like a live studio audience. Keith's number one fan.
That's
Thank
nice.
You, Courtney. I
it's
appreciate
like the
that.
Today Show.
Very nice.
Yeah, she's standing out there with a sign. Keith's number one fan. That's nice.
There is like a standing room right there. You could have like 6-7 people. Wouldn't that be a bad idea?
Well, I've heard not
raffle that off.
I've heard not every host likes eye contact from out there. Is what I've heard. Not every host is a big fan.
Is that true?
I've heard that. Yeah,
I don't mind people popping in. There's a nice little window. It's like we're in like a fish tank.
Past hosts, I'm sure. I've heard
they like eye contact.
Yeah, from walking by in the hallway.
Well,
sure.
You know, it's not for everybody. Everybody's got different stuff going on. That's
true. That's a good point. But that was nice from Courtney.
Yeah,
give you a little shout out.
She's trying.
Were you guys squash the beef there, or is she still?
She's trying. She's trying. Like I said, Jones,
she's still on the list.
Yeah.
She's a current media member on the former media member list.
I got a list, by the way.
I don't think anybody doubts that.
I have a list, and once you're on the list, it's impossible actually to get off the list.
Yeah.
This is my thought in life. This is coworkers, people that you run into at the store, neighbors. Give everyone a chance. Don't be a bleep hole. Just give everybody a chance. As soon as they cross you, they're done. They're done. And there's no sense in getting mad if you can't hold a grudge. So hold on to it. Hold on to it until you're dead.
It's great advice. There's no point if you're not going to hold on to that grudge.
Why get mad in the first place?
Never even get mad in
the
first place.
Don't get worked up.
Don't give them your energy.
Let it go.
Unless you're really going to hold on to it.
So I hate a lot of people.
Well, you can go to Keefe's timeline last night if you need any inside look at
loser,
that.
This loser. This piece of crap.
We'll get to the Bruins.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Bruins coming up. Nice win for them, Keith.
You know, great win.
Good job.
You're welcome.
Good job.
You're welcome, everybody. A lesser man would take full credit for it, Jones. I'm only going to take a little bit of credit. Just a little bit of credit.
Not all of it.
They're 2-0 since Brad Marchand got all fired up.
You got to give the players some credit. You're not going to take all of it.
Well, I'll give Joe Sacco some.
Yeah,
I'll give the coach some.
Yeah, sure.
Fans, their response, I think that's helped.
Go pound sand.
That's aided in it.
Oh, I think the Lightning not having everybody, that probably is a little piece of it, too.
2-0 since I've been pounded sand in my closet. That's how he envisioned it anyway.
That was how he tosses and turns and thinks about it. When he's not losing sleep over the opinion of sheep.
But it is funny because I had to go get a bunch of sand actually to fill my mailbox in. Remember I told you my mailbox was smashed
right,
over?
Right, sure.
Weirdly enough, here I am with like a 50-pound bag of sand. I could pound sand. I did, in fact, pound sand this weekend.
It all...
So, joke's on me, I guess.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
Here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Lots of ways to interact. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. We will get to the Bruins coming up.
Yeah.
It's also a Celtics Wednesday. We're going to talk to Terp. Spend some time on the Seas. I keep hearing they can't get outshot in a 7-game series, and yet they've been getting outshot from 3 for about a month now. Which tells me that math doesn't quite line up.
Missoula can't be happy with that.
So we'll get to that with Terp at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can watch along there. Always a healthy chat going on in the Twitch chat and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Lots of ways you can follow along and consume the show. But no, I bet Mayo a lot of his advice for Drake May last year was like, go get him, fella. And I think Vrabel's going to give you the situational aspect of, all right, well, hey, on this drive, if we don't get anything, just don't turn it over. Don't make a stupid play. Mm-hmm. Punting is okay here. Or, look, we need some points. Field goal's okay. Like, that sort of advice. Our defense needs a break. That sort of thing. We can't go 3-and-out here. You know, I think situationally thinking through those different spots, I think Vrabel is going to help Drake May a lot. And so you're starting at a higher point, or at least you should. Maybe that levels out any year two drop off that Baker Mayfield or CJ Stroud suffered through, but I still think it's a wildly important hire. And again, I'll ask you, who do you think the best case offensive coordinator is now? Tommy Reese is out. This happened late in the show yesterday. He's staying in Cleveland. Neither of us wanted him anyway. Who's the best case OC?
So I think this is one where there's really no chance, but you asked me best chance. Yeah. I guess I would go Tanner Engstrom. Tanner Engstrom, in all likelihood, pass game coordinator with the Detroit Lions, so he's been working closely with Ben Johnson. We all assume Ben Johnson will finally move on this year. If he doesn't, then maybe Engstrom says, hey, I have an opportunity, and he goes somewhere. My guess would be Ben Johnson takes a head coaching job, and they just promote Tanner Engstrom. So he's probably off the board. That would be my first choice. I like Dave Ragone, especially the names that have been kind of tossed out there, working with Sean McVay. Just like last year, I was, you know, this whole offensive coordinator process, they interviewed 13 guys. I said, why don't you take a look at guys that worked with Sean McVay or Kevin O'Connell or Matt LaFleur or Mike McDaniel? You can question, and I don't mind if you do, like any of those guys as head coaches, but you really can't question their offenses or their play calling or how they've developed quarterbacks. And so the next guys in line, get in on that. Get in on that. I don't need a retread in this position.
And so I'm with you on that. On McDaniels, I think he's toxic. I don't think anybody else would hire him. And so you don't need to hire him. I know the Crafts like him and know him. And I was encouraged listening to Vrabel yesterday on the Greg Hill show saying, well, yeah, I mean, he's on the list and we're going to talk to him, but it's a long list.
So Courtney, friend of the show,
yes,
she heard it differently. She read it as he didn't want to say, like, he's kind of already the guy.
He didn't want to give it up now, and say this, that he's going to be the guy. So, yeah, he's on the list. It's a long list. It's totally not a sham search. I mean, I could see that.
That's not how I viewed it either. Because, you know, if you want to play the same thing, when Robert Kraft was asked point blank about Mike Vrabel, and he had to give the, well, we got like a bunch of candidates, mm-hmm. you know, but he already knew it mm-hmm. was a done deal. So maybe. Now, could you use Josh McDaniels almost like this year's version of Alex Van Pelt, meaning do a full search, interview 10 guys, and if for some reason, you know, Tanner Engstrom doesn't leave, or Dave Ragone gets promoted by the Rams, or, you know, Tommy Rees, who I didn't want, but he already got promoted by
McDaniels
the Browns.
McDaniels is a complete fallback, break glass in case of emergency guy.
He is the guy that you know you can hire. Maybe. I don't think you have to worry about him taking another job, to your point.
I still wouldn't love it, but here's the flaw with McDaniels, I think. And this is less about McDaniels' past. I think this is a real tangible thing. For anybody who says, yeah, well, Josh is a great offensive coordinator. And even Curran acknowledged this when we talked to him yesterday. Do you really want Drake May starting over again at square one? And starting with a new offense and new language? And maybe that's overstated. Like, it's like learning French. It's like speaking a different language. Like, I think that gets overstated and people complicate football and make it sound much more confusing than it is.
No.
Because
I don't think that happens.
Whatever. Because they want to make it sound like it's much more complex mm-hmm. than just a couple of guys knocking heads. So, you know, I don't want to overstate that, but I do think it's a factor. And if it's one more thing Drake May has to relearn, focus on, instead of taking the next step, I think that is not ideal. If you want to talk about an X's and O's reason to not hire McDaniels outside of his past and where he's flamed out, and that I legitimately think no one else is going to interview him and certainly not give him an offensive coordinator job, which should tell you a lot. I think the ideal scenario, I'm choosing to operate, and Engstrom's a great name. I'm choosing to operate on Mike Reese's list.
Okay.
I mean, you put those names out for a reason. I'm guessing that's a whittled down list, and one's already out. Tommy Rees. I don't want Josh McDaniels. Tim Kelly, I guess I would hold my nose and go along with it. Dave Ragone, not Ragone.
You want Ragone too?
Dave Ragone. That's who I want out of a realistic candidate. He's from the McVay coaching tree.
Yeah, he is.
And he has a connection to Vrabel. That to me sounds like the best of all worlds. He knows Vrabel. He's not a complete stranger. He knows how demanding Vrabel can be and what he wants. But he's also been exposed to the ideas that Sean McVay has.
Now, he was an offensive coordinator before. Right.
He was.
Ragone was. And so I don't know if this gives you pause at all, but he was a player. You guys might remember him as a player, kind of like a fringy player. I think he might have played in the NFL Europe too, it looks like. But he was a third round pick out of Louisville back in the day. Anyway, he's been in the NFL in some capacity as a coach.
Where was he the OC?
2011. The Atlanta Falcons.
Oh boy.
In 21, 22, and 23.
Oh, that's a long stretch. He was the OC there?
Yeah. Now
he was with Vrabel in Tennessee from 18 to 20. I didn't realize that's what he was doing. I thought he was with McVay.
Yeah, so it was three straight 7-10 seasons Arthur Smith.
That's where they've been.
So Arthur Smith, I think, was calling the plays.
I was just going to say that. So I don't think he wasn't the play caller, but he was the offensive
coordinator. He was like, LinkedIn says
Smith was absolutely the play caller there.
And so that was the last year in Atlanta for Matt Ryan. It was Marcus Mariota. It was Desmond Ridder. So it's sort of like, I don't know, you give him a little bit of a break. And I'm just going to bank on, what did you learn this year with McVay?
Okay, that's
why, like, Nick Caley to me, I know it's sort of like a retread through the system, but 2 years under McVay, I don't mind that one. Now, that bridge might be burned because he reportedly wanted a ton of money because of the way they did him dirty before. So he wanted a ton of money, and they didn't happen. It may have even been Mayo's first choice, but the deal didn't get done. He wanted a lot of money for a first-year offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But that's a couple of seasons to learn under Sean McVay and in that Rams offense. So, yeah, I don't like. There's probably no perfect candidate, but I would take Ragone.
What would you advise Nick Caley with his grudge against New England? What would you advise him to do?
Yeah, hold on to that.
Yeah.
Just grip it tighter.
Tell the Patriots to pound sand.
That's right. That's right.
In a closet somewhere.
Be the quality control coach forever and never be an actual offensive coordinator because you're so angry and bitter. That's probably the best way to go. Yeah.
What do you think the level of importance in this hire is? Like, the head coach was
massive.
Wildly important.
I think
the
massive.
GM decision is wildly important. What I mean, you think it's a massive hire?
I think it's massive. I think last year, because of Mayo's lack of experience and, you know, it being Drake May's rookie year, it was probably even more important last year. At least now Drake May has played some NFL games. He kind of knows what it takes. So it's like you don't have to kind of coach that aspect of it. Like, he's been there. He's played in more than 10 games in the NFL. But it, of course, it's huge. Like, you want this guy to be a good play caller, get the most out of Drake May, put him in a spot to succeed, because we all are hoping they improve the level of talent around him. It's not going to be completely different, though. Let's face it. Maybe they get one wide receiver who's better. Maybe they get one offensive lineman who's better. So you're still going to have to, like, coach up average talent in certain spots. And you can do that. Teams have had the ability to do that. But, yeah, this guy is huge. And if Drake May is going to take that leap from, wow, like, what could be, and, like, to legitimate top 10 quarterback, let's call it, next year, I think this guy's going to have a lot to do with it.
So I do think it's a massive hire. I would say, and this is why we've talked about it in the way we have, in the manner we have, I think the head coach is more important. I think who's in charge of personnel is more important. That's why we spent a lot of time on Elliott Wolf and my fears of it, which have been, you know, alleviated to a degree.
Yeah.
I still want to see how it plays out, but if Schefter's telling me that Vrabes is the man and Curran says it's going to be Mike Vrabel, I'll stand down on that. So those two are more important. But now this is the next one, and this is, I think, by far the most important. I'm not going to tell you it's scheme over talent or anything like that.
No.
I agree with you. They got to go get free agents. They got to draft well. I think that's self-evident. Maybe make some trades. I think that's obvious. But the scheme's going to be important, and hand-holding Drake May and helping Drake May along in year two is wildly important. And the one thing I am fearful of with Mike Vrabel is the talk about efficient passing. We're not going to throw it 50 times. And maybe that's good for Drake May's development. Maybe that's positive that they're not going to heap too much on him in year two. But I already don't like the sound of that. So if I'm going to nitpick the Vrabel hire, which I'm going to, that's something I don't love.
Well, Van Pelt was a big, like, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to run the ball, and we're going to do this. Remember, like, he was talking about that. And I didn't like that. And you could say, well, these are kind of similar. But we went through some of the numbers. Like, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson weren't in the top 10 this year in pass attempts for quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign. They both had MVP seasons. They both were nasty. They both ran the ball a lot, which maybe we'll see more smart design runs for Drake May. He has that ability. And most of his yards he picked up this year were all, like, off script, right? Like, they were all, like, play broke down, then he ran. So maybe you actually incorporate that a little bit more. And I don't know. I still go to, and maybe this is just me choosing to be positive with it, but when he talked about in Tennessee, he's like, well, yeah, we had Derrick Henry. Like, you don't have Derrick Henry here. You don't.
No.
You have a back who fumbles all the time, and then, like, who knows what else you're going to have back there. So once he realizes, once he sees that Drake May is their best player, I don't think they're going to be in the bottom five or six in pass attempts next year.
No,
I don't.
And maybe it's too much to ask to have him at the top of the league as well in year two for Drake May. So your thoughts on this. Who's the ideal offensive coordinator? Is it Josh McDaniels? Is it somebody else from Vrabel's past? Do you want to go outside of that and go with innovators and new offensive ideas? You can weigh in on that at 617-779-7937. And the level of importance. How important is it they hit a home run on this hire in year two with Drake May? We will get to the Bruins around 11 o'clock. They win again last night. Good job, Keith.
You're welcome.
We're going to do some Celtics talk with Terp at high noon on a Celtics Wednesday. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending. And when we come back, how to rebuild the Patriots this offseason. Some targets for them, some ideas for them. We'll do it right after the
search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The update.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Celtics Wednesday. We'll talk C's coming up at high noon with Terp.
We'll get to the Bruins as well. Good win for them. Again, good job, Keefe.
Yep, you're welcome.
Firing them up. You don't want to take all the credit.
I'll take some of it.
Yeah, take some.
I'd be crazy not to. But, yeah, Lesser Man would take all of the credit, not me.
No, no, no.
It's about those guys out there. It's about those fans in those seats. It's about that coach. It's about the whole squad. The beat writers did a great job.
Beat writers did a good job.
Those guys have been all over it.
White knighting for the team. That's true.
They need it. They need it. Brad needs their help.
One text here, 617-779-7937. So the style of winning is more important than winning? Got it, Jones.
Oh, no, in your face.
Look, if they're going to win games... I might, if they win, call it 10 games in the regular season. High number.
Wow.
Let's say they win 10 games.
Yeah.
I might.
Keefe, he did have him, what, 10-1?
No, that's a good point.
Last year, he liked him after that
last year's
win.
Team winning 10 games. That's true. So let's say they win 10 games, they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll stop there.
I might question their style and go, is it sustainable in the postseason? I might bring that up. But I want them to win games. I'll be happy however they win games. My question is, how do you think you win games in 2025? And I don't think it's a run-first approach. When you have the stud quarterback. Now, look, Keith, you bring up Detroit's the offense we all want to replicate. They run it a ton.
Yeah.
They run it on, you know, the backs of not just Gibbs, but also Montgomery, who should be healthy this week. The Ravens run it a ton. You mentioned the Bills are more middle of the pack in terms of rush attempts per game. All those teams blow people out. So my guess is some of that is game script related.
It is a little skewed sometimes. Bad teams have to pass at the end. Good teams run at the end.
Three of the offenses I would want to be and three of the teams I would want to be, they are heavy run teams. So maybe that flies in the face of how I want to build it. And the Bengals are like all throwing it. And the Bengals missed the postseason last year. And I don't want to be the Bengals. So I'll be happy however they win. But I think the best way to win, the best way, the easiest way, is to have Drake May elevate. I mean, that's my personal opinion on that. I don't think it's get another running back with Ramondre Stevenson and have a tandem running attack like the Lions. I think they're too far away from that.
It also depends on personnel, obviously, because the top three rushing teams this season, just yards per game, regular season, were the Ravens, Eagles, and Commanders. So three playoff teams, three really good teams. But you also have Lamar, Jalen Hurts, and Jaden Daniels. On top of that, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. So, like, that's insane. Like, that's the best running quarterbacks combined with some of the best running backs in the league. So, if you want to look at some of the other teams that you might want to, you know, the Chiefs don't run it great. The even the Vikings didn't run it a ton. The Rams don't run it a ton compared to some other teams. So
that surprises me. Kyron, they don't run it a ton with Kyron.
They don't. Well, as a team, the Rams averaged 103 yards a game. Like, they were towards the bottom. So, yeah. There's a lot of different ways to do it. We even talked about when the playoffs began, 9 of the top 10 offenses are in the playoffs. 9 of the top 10 defenses are in the playoffs. So if you excel at one of those things, you should be able to get in.
Well, one of the things I would hear in that stat you just gave me, where all those offenses have some of the best running quarterbacks, Lamar, Hurts, and Jaden Daniels. Two of them have great running backs, as you illustrated.
I was gonna say, Saquon Barkley himself ran for 2,000 yards.
But Drake May can be a big part of the running.
Yes.
Too,
so you could actually model yourself after that a little bit.
You can.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, let's get into it. What's their most important thing that they need on offense? I think Vrabel's making it clear. He wants offensive line help. You got to protect the quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to impact the quarterback, or however you set it, on defense, and you got to protect the quarterback on offense. It's clear. O-line, D-line are points of emphasis for Vrabel. Is that what you want? Is that where you would start?
I still want the wide receiver. I know you're like, yeah, Keith, you're a moron, and you just like the shiny objects, which is true. However, I think...
Who doesn't like a shiny
They need improvements on both, right? So I'm not just going to sit here and be like, if they get one offensive tackle, like, they're good to go with what? Booty and Douglas and Jalen Polk? So I think I still maintain an average offensive line and elite wide receivers, you have a better chance. And I think your quarterback would probably prefer that. If you have both holy smokes, now you're the Lions and now you're cooking with gas, or the Eagles, they have great both and like all that. Yeah, ideally you get to that point where you build a whole team. But right now the Patriots are so far away that I would take my shot on like a big money wide receiver and then try to improve the offensive line as well. But I think without that big receiver, what are they going to do?
Yeah, I would prioritize it the same. It's wide receiver before O-line, but you need both. And Vrabel says we're going to, you know, pass efficiently and we're going to protect the quarterback and all these things. I'm fine with all that. I'm really fine with spending on a running back, probably more so than a lot of people out there. I'm not taking Ashton Jeanty at 4.
No.
I don't know if he fell into the 20s for some reason. Would I move up from 30, whatever? Where are they in the second round? 35, 36? Would I move up from there and try to go get Jeanty in the 20s? Yeah, I'd be all for that. Or taking a running back in round 2. I'm pro-drafting a running back.
That's why not getting the first pick screws you so bad. Because if you had the first pick, you could probably trade down and then grab a running back as sort of like this extra fun piece, but then get the big hoss or get a wide receiver. And that's just day one of the draft. But instead you have the number 4 pick. Maybe you can still trade down. I mean, you can trade down.
And that, by the way, is just the draft. Like, there's a lot of different ways to do it. So if they trade for a wide receiver, they trade for A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf or whomever. They make a trade for one of these guys. Or they sign T. Higgins.
I like that.
Well, then, okay. Then at 4, talk to me about an offensive tackle. And talk to me about the best place to get one. And do you trade down to get one? Or talk me up on Abdul Carter or, you know, whomever. Fine. But the number one priority, get that wide receiver. And what I would want, beyond just a pure outside receiver, is I do want, I look at the Lions and how they've operated on offense. I do want that go-to guy that is not just Drake May hucking it up on the outside. I want, and Amon-Ra, like, I want that style of receiver.
Yeah.
I don't need Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're not going to get him.
You try.
And that's a high-end comp.
Yeah.
But I want them to get that style of receiver more than even a Ja'Marr Chase style of receiver. I want that for Drake May, a guy who the whole building knows where it's going, and he can still get open, and he can still, you know, make plays. That's what I want for Drake May.
Yeah, like, and, you know, don't get us wrong. We don't think you can get by with a bad offensive line. You need to improve the offensive line. I just think of certain plays where, you know, let's say it's a jailbreak, and, you know, Vadarian Lowe doesn't even touch the guy that he's trying to block. Drake May spins out of it, picks up 5 yards. Or everything's blocked up great, Pop Douglas runs the wrong route, and it's an interception. Or you throw it to even Hunter Henry, who actually wasn't a big problem, but remember that one play where he caught the ball and handed it to the other team.
Handed it right to the defense.
Kayshon Boutte, same thing. A completed pass. Drake May had enough time, even with that horrible offensive line, connected with the receiver who literally handed the ball to the defense. So if you get rid of plays like that and guys like that, you know, I'm sure if Drake May was asked, you know, would you rather have Penei Sewell or Amon-Ra St. Brown off of the Lions? Yeah, you want both.
I would like both.
I think you might want St. Brown more.
I would rather have Amon-Ra.
Yeah,
I would.
So that's where I go.
A lot of people are saying things like this on the text line. Guys, wake up. The foundation of a house is what holds up the house.
Yeah, I know.
Not the pretty windows and the doors.
I get it. I've been there.
You have to go O-line first.
I think that's the majority. I believe the majority of people feel that way, I think.
Okay, a lot of people were saying that last year, like draft Joe Alt over Drake May. Would that have been the right move?
That would have been the wrong move.
Okay, so I don't know.
But now that you have the quarterback, I think this is a little bit more.
This one's a lot closer. Yeah, I agree. I'd still lean with the doors and windows over the foundation. I'd still lean towards the door, the shiny
good
door knocker.
Doors.
Yeah. Give me the shiny object. I'd still lean that way.
Get a nice rough.
But just know, all of you people talk about the foundation and getting an offensive lineman. You were saying that last year, too, which means you would have missed out on Drake May.
Yeah.
That was your thought process last year.
I also blame Elliott Wolf for this because he found a way to get such a horrible offensive line that people are like, of course you need the offensive line, but you don't need 5 all pros. Like, you can get by. You can block it up for Drake May, especially an athletic quarterback who, you know, and because you also need these receivers to get open. Like, how confident are you in this current receiver group to both get open and then also catch the ball?
Yeah.
Not
great. This group?
No, not much.
How much does Drake May need a running game? Like, how much does a young quarterback need that in today's NFL?
Oh, I think it helps quite a bit. Yeah. And he can be a part of it too. Right. Like, it doesn't just have to be Saquon Barkley lining up next to you, but I think that helps a ton. Because how many times did they run the ball on first down this year? All the time. But how many times did they run it on first down and then it was second and 10 or second and 9? Awful.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the stat in Philly is insane that they were saying during the game on Sunday. I don't think Saquon Barkley, was it like first sign of contact? Was that like 4 yards? Or like something? Yeah. He had some insane number where
so far down the field before he even gets touched.
So my guess is it was always second and five at the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just makes the job of the quarterback so much easier. And the play caller.
And I think this is a fair counterpoint to what you're saying, like or to what I originally said and backing up what you're saying is, yeah, any running back could run behind the Eagles offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but it looks a lot different with Saquon versus DeAndre Swift a year ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, or Miles Sanders.
Okay, so to me, that's why I would invest in a running back this offseason. It's down my list.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
But I do think that's important for Drake May.
I got you.
So how do you rebuild the offense? How do you fix the defense? How important is the OC hire? Who is your ideal offensive coordinator for Drake May? Because I think his development is obviously key
to
this team next year. Paramount is the right word for it. Speaking of Drake May, you see he went on a little vacation?
I like a little vacation. I could use a vacation.
Skipped out on the Mike Vrabel introductory press conference.
Now, where'd he go?
Ooh, I don't know.
Do you remember? But it was out of the country, I believe.
I don't think it was the Cape.
Well, I don't think it was Florida either.
I don't think so.
I don't think he went to Disneyland. He didn't win the Super Bowl.
So let's get into Drake May and how we feel about, I don't know, his whole attitude, the way he's carrying himself, his leadership maybe is the best way to put it. Let's get into that with all your phone calls next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. A reminder, our coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We'll get to the Bruins coming up at 11. Keefe has sparked a Bruins revolution out there. The team is awake. It's the second time they've been shaken awake this year. Once when they fired their head coach and the other time by Rich. So we'll get to that coming up. It's Celtics Wednesday as well. We'll talk to Terp at high noon. All your Celtics questions, file that away. 617-779-7937. That's also your text number. I see a text here. And we talked about rebuilding the offense. And do you go wide receiver before offensive line? Do you go running back anywhere in that mix? Text here. We need a young pass-catching tight end for Drake May to develop. We need a Brock Bowers type. The kid at Penn State's awesome. I don't know how much of Tyler Warren you watched this year.
A little.
Awesome. Like, legit stud. I'm not drafting him at 4, but
I think their tight ends are fine. Don't you think? Yeah, but, like, they're not in a situation to upgrade, like, tight end or even running back right now. If you get a better running back, great. But
you're upping the passing game.
Yeah, wide receivers, please. Wide receivers and
Hunter Henry was the leading receiver on the team.
Yeah, I didn't say get him instead of a wide receiver. I'm saying as a supplement, if you can get Tyler Warren.
Well, you can only get so
first
much,
round,
though.
Early second round.
I know. So if right now they only have the 4th pick and the 38th pick or whatever, the first 2 picks, if they drafted a tight end, I think there would be that people would pick it.
Well,
go down there and
depending
pick it.
On who it is, I would not pick it if it was this kid.
Okay.
The kid from Penn State is legit. They line him up as like a wildcat quarterback. He can run it. He's unbelievable. So him specifically, I don't think you're going to get him in the second round, but you're not going to draft him at 4. So I'm saying if there's a way to get him, great. I don't hate getting a security blanket, period. Whether it's like a middle of the field presence, I don't think that's a bad thing in the passing game at all. Whether it's a slot receiver, tight end, etc. Meanwhile, the vacation, the maycation.
Maycation, nice. You know, he deserved it.
You think so?
I think so.
So if you're unaware of what this is, our guy Savage Sports on Twitter, I think, got this going yesterday. That's at least where I first saw it. Where Drake May's on the beach. Looks lovely.
He's a professional athlete in his early 20s.
The beach. I didn't mean the physique.
I thought you meant
the
dude. No, like, the physique, what a time to be alive.
Physique looks like, and who am I to talk? But, it looks like there's some work to be done.
Some work to be done? Is that right?
I would say.
It's
not exactly Mahomes.
It's not prime cut. You don't think?
It's a little like when Brady was on the beach that one time. It's not quite that doughy.
A little though?
Yeah, it's you're wanting to go look at the picture yourself.
I didn't see the picture.
Oh.
I hope he is having a nice vacation, though.
He's having a lovely time on the beach somewhere.
All right. Just by himself?
He did not. Well, I'm assuming other people were there. I believe it was from his girlfriend's Instagram, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's on her Instagram story.
Okay.
Okay.
And so, he's out there and he's having a good time, which is his right.
Yep,
bathing suit for
water
sure.
Water sports?
I didn't see it, the
Got
picture.
It.
But I'd imagine,
what do you do at the beach? I can't sit still, obviously.
No.
I usually swim in.
This is going to shock you. I don't like going to the beach all that much.
No, neither do I. I burn.
I just,
Look at the skin. I burn.
I get very bored.
Yeah.
if I'm not, this maybe speaks a lot about me. If there aren't like beers to drink there, I'm really not enjoying myself.
I agree.
I can go
it
for
can be
a little
a tough
bit.
Day.
Yeah, I can go for a little bit, but I'm really not enjoying myself.
I understand.
I can't sit there and read a book.
No.
I'm not napping in a hammock.
Yeah.
And so some people are upset he didn't come back for Mike Vrabel's press conference. This is on the heels of him blowing off the media at the end of the year. He did not talk after the Bills win. They won without him. He did not talk the next day when a lot of guys talked in the locker room. So is any of that a reflection on Drake May, his leadership, or lack thereof?
I think the most, I don't even know if alarming is the right word, but the only one that I kind of raised an eyebrow was sort of at the end of the game or like the locker room clear out. You know, the locker room clear out day. So you remember, you go back to the season finale, he played a series, and then in comes Joe Milton, and it was really all about Joe Milton. So Joe Milton did the press conference. You weren't going to have the guy that took a couple snaps do the press conference. I thought maybe, all right, season wrap up, maybe he'd be available there. He wasn't. I didn't lose any sleep over it. The next day, you had guys like David Andrews, who have been out since how long? And like everybody, our guy Christian Gonzalez, like all these guys were available, spoke about, you know, what's going on with the season. Gerard Mayo's gone, that kind of thing. He's going to be a captain next year. He's the face of the team. He's the quarterback. That's the one thing I had a question about. Not after the game, the next day, why weren't you at least available for like a little bit? This is kind of part of the job. I know it's like a lower level thing. We want you to throw touchdowns and do all that stuff and win games, but this is also a part of it. So that I thought was kind of a tough look. The vacation thing, not as much. Like, I can only imagine if I had a planned vacation and I was somewhere else and I told my wife, like, hey, we actually have to circle back to Foxborough because the new coach is being introduced. Like, I think there'll be a time for Drake May to talk about Vrabel, maybe even talk about Mayo, but more importantly, talk about Vrabel and go from there. I don't look at this as the end of the world.
I don't think the vacation's a big deal at all, just to be clear.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm sure we'll, if he sucks eventually, I'm sure that's something we'll throw back in his face. I'm sure I will anyway. Yeah. But in real time, do I care about it? No, I don't care about the vacation. He didn't need to come back for Mike Vrabel's introductory press conference.
Mac Jones was at Gerard Mayo's intro press conference. Everybody made fun of him for it.
Okay, good point. Also, Drake May's probably like, well, they got to do an interview process and satisfy the Rooney Rule and everything.
Good
it's like,
point.
The Patriots hired him so quick, he couldn't even cancel his vacation.
But
he could have.
But he's known the season was over since September.
Yeah.
So if his girlfriend wanted to plan a vacation, be like, hey, you just went through your first rookie year. We're going to do this. We're going to go. You don't have any anything you have to do. Plus, I like this. Get the vacation out of the way. Get back in the lab.
Yeah, look, I...
Get back out to work.
I have zero problem with the vacation.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. It's why we mention it.
Yep.
And other people have an issue with it. So if you do, feel free to weigh in. 617-779-7937. I didn't have really any issue with him not talking after the Bills game. He could have gone up there and done the corny thing that he did after the Bears game where he's like, hey, everybody, let's give the defense like a round of applause. Let's give Joe Milton a round of applause. Like, he could have done that.
Yeah.
I said this in real time. I didn't have an issue with that. The next day...
Yeah, where was he then?
Breakup day, the Monday after the season. Gonzalez didn't play in the final game. David Andrews hasn't played in forever.
Right.
You just said all those guys were there talking about Gerard Mayo out and the season. You're the biggest member of the organization, the most important member of the organization, at least among the players. And you're not there? Or if you're there, you're not speaking? That's the only red flag I've seen in all of this. And just to correct the text line, because we're getting texts about this, 617-779-7937. What about Jonathan Kraft not being there at Vrabel's introductory press conference?
He was.
Wrong. Incorrect.
He was.
He was there. Now, he wasn't there at Mayo's press conference.
Sure, that was a story at the time. We talked about it.
I thought that was telling.
We talked about it.
But ownership and players are a little different. I don't care. The players who showed up to the press conference look like suck-ups, bootlickers, apple polishers.
Because
I don't care about that. But not being there on breakup day, that bothered me. Yes.
Yeah, that was the only one that was really kind of puzzling. And you're saying, all right, if you're going to be a team leader for this going forward, that's something that you need to be there for. You know, you're not the same as everybody else, right? That you're actually one of the few guys that people want to hear from at the end of the season and like what's going on and sort of just sum up your year, maybe a couple of thoughts about your coach, Gerard Mayo, and then kind of move on. And then it's your offseason and enjoy your offseason.
So to me, I'm just curious to hear Drake May talk about Mike Vrabel being here and Mayo being gone in any capacity. What did he say at the end of the... We played the clip.
Well, plus, he was...
What did he say about Mayo at one point where he was just
him.
Like... Yeah, but he was like...
Well, he loved Van Pelt. He was really... He spoke very highly of Van Pelt.
But he was very critical after one of these games about the commentary of Mayo being out and we'd play for him and we want to play for him and all these things. I forget exactly what it was. But I'm going to be curious to hear Drake May speak about it for the first time because it will be the first time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, because we've already heard Vrabel a few times talk about Drake May, but just not the other way around.
617-779-7937.
He said the conversations about Mayo being fired are BS.
Thank you. That's what it was. BS.
Turns out, not.
Turns out they weren't BS whatsoever.
No.
So, look, I mostly like Drake May as a leader this year. I thought he was a good teammate and, you know, night and day from Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Not showing up to talk I didn't love. Nope. Vacation doesn't bother me. We'll continue with all your feedback coming up. And Keith has sparked the Bruins. Let's do it next.